kings, queens, everything in between. Welcome back to another episode of the Peasant Party Podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte Warren. It's Wednesday.
Good morning!
Woo! And your favorite person's
it's morning
here with me.
Time.
It is. We don't usually do these in the morning, but
I know.
I had to knock out some ads for...
Guess what? I'm wearing last night's makeup, and I haven't showered yet.
Uh-oh.
I look awesome right now, by the way.
You look fine.
My freaking thrift store sweater.
It's so funny. Hey. You can always tell our morning episodes because we're just like in our sweats.
Like, good morning.
What's new with you? Any updates in the last week or so?
Lots of stuff. I got my face lasered off. I don't know if I told you this.
Oh yeah, you told me this.
I got Halo laser and I'm so happy with it. It's amazing.
And what does that do?
So it hurts so freaking bad. It's like a laser, like a tiny little laser, and they go all over your skin in like little circles pretty much and just zap, 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 and then they go back over that spot. Zap, 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 zap. So like afterwards you're just like on fire for like an hour, and then it starts to cool down, and then the next day you're super swollen, your skin looks all nasty and like scabby, and then it starts to get dry, and then once all of that falls away, it's like perfect.
Is it the thing that makes you like peel for a week?
Yeah, I had bad melasma on my forehead. I don't know if you remember. It started as like a little patch, like almost like a little freckle, and then it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it took up like my entire forehead, and this is designed to like get rid of that, and now it's like almost completely gone. It's incredible. I love it so much. So.
Yeah, I mean, you look great.
I feel like a new girl.
Yeah, you look 25.
Thanks so much. And I want to start acting now because Charlotte says she's gonna start
acting.
Oh
yeah, that's like our other like random personal life news, like something that like this whole thing has brought for us is like we started just doing like UGC ads, like to pay for this space. Like, we are technically, we don't have ads that we do mid podcast. We're a profitable podcast because of that. And just kind of stumbled into it by accident. People see the clips. They're like, hey, do you want to do these ads for us? And like, we unintentionally became actors, basically. We've done like quite well with it and then have made some other connections.
Yeah.
I was in, and I'm going to be in an episode of the show 1923. I like what's crazy is like when you do these they're shooting in Austin and San Antonio.
Ooh.
I have no idea like
is that how you got connected with this?
I met people like through TikTok that were kind of like, oh, here's these things that you can like do, and then so yeah, people that are like very like experienced actors, and it was really cool. Like, I don't know that I didn't recognize myself because, okay, 1923
really?
Is a period piece. It's a spinoff for the show Yellowstone. I don't want to like screw myself over and like lose more work by talking about this, but I think as long as there's no pictures, it's fine. And I have based on everything that I was in, I have no idea what the plot was that was going on.
Really?
Like the scene was just like, I didn't recognize the characters. I was like,
did you have a line? Did you say anything?
No. I walked by, but like, so it was crazy because, there you can't have like they're blonde, like blonde hair is like not natural like in adults for the most part.
Okay.
And they're like no highlighted hair, so I'm like wearing like a red like 1920s style like bob wig and like a hat.
What are you
also,
kidding
like,
me?
It was also
like
100 degrees out, and it was supposed to be like freezing cold. Like it was supposed to be a winter scene in Montana.
No way, you didn't tell me this.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
I couldn't
funny.
Take any pictures, but like the makeup, they like at first they asked me to. They're like, they're like, would you be comfortable shaving your eyebrows down to this? They're like, it'll grow back in 2 weeks. And I was like, whatever you got to do. I didn't have to. They just like makeuped over it.
But like, I want to do that so
I think
bad.
Some people, because they had like some roles that were like more, because what they have is like, there's like background and there's featured extra. Like a featured extra is like someone that might have a line or is like very like prominently like on camera. And there were a few of those. There was like, I don't know, I hope I'm not saying like too much. But like there was like one where it's like a couple that was supposed to be kissing and stuff, and it's crazy because for that kind of thing with back like more background work, they use like real life couples just because it's a lot to ask someone to kiss on camera for not a lot of pay. So that was like a real life couple. There was like three women that were supposed to be like working girls, aka like prostitutes that were like kind of roaming around. And then like it was interesting too because they like kind of paired everyone off. They're like, this is your husband, so I had like a fake husband for a day.
Oh my god,
it was very sweet. And it was crazy too, a lot of the people that were in it were like, so there were a few that were, because they were like casting for like people to play like bands and various speakeasies. So a lot of people were like the rejects for the band things, and in real life they're music teachers in like the school system and stuff like that.
Okay.
So that was really cool. And there were a few like nurses, because like, fun fact, like nurses like have irregular schedules. So a lot of times like background actors like are like real life nurses. Like when you see like nurses background
characters
on TV and stuff, like they like to cast real nurses because they like know what to do. But there are a few like nurses.
Is it an HBO show?
It is Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus. Yeah.
So
okay.
I saw the first season. Like, so it's interesting because it's like an expensive show to shoot. Like, there's like, it ended last season with like one whole guy like what in the Dutton family was like in South Africa, and they're like in South Africa and they're like on a boat and stuff. So
it
was interesting because like the casting stuff, they had like casting in Galveston to like be on the ship, and it was like
first
class passengers and stuff like that. It's funny because I like submit for stuff. I was almost on like Walker Texas Ranger like a few years ago, and then like got cut at the last minute. But like, you submit and they're like, here's what you can be. And I always picked as like bar patron, which is just funny because I've like submitted for like, oh, like cop or something like that, or like, you know, like nurse, like things like that. It's like, no, you're the bar patron.
You're the drunk.
They cast me for
drunk.
That's like the thing that people say with acting. Like, the best thing you can do is like be self-aware, like know what like look you fit and go for those. Like,
that's so funny.
To be like leading
in college. One of my roommates, I lived with like 8 girls in one place. One of my roommates, who was an actor and still does act, I think, she was like improv, but she told me one day, and it made me so mad at the time, but now I look back and I'm like, yeah, no, she was right. She said that because I like wouldn't wear makeup around the house, she was like, yeah, you know, like you have a really like plain face. I was like, what the fuck? She's kind of a bitch, but she was like, yeah, you just have a really plain face. And like my other roommates were like, yeah, uh-huh. And I was like, oh. And she was like, it's actually great for acting. It's like fantastic for acting because I'm like malleable. I can be a lot of different things. So no makeup. Totally. Like, I have strong features because I draw them on.
Yeah.
Because I paint them on my face. When that's not there, my face is like fucking flat. There's like no features really. Well, so I could be anything. I could play anything.
Oh yeah. And like, it's crazy because like what you're like, who's experience in acting probably told you is like, they're so mathematical with how they talk about appearances. Like, everyone's like, oh, you have to be like so hot or stuff like,
no,
like, you could just as easily be too big for a role as you are too small. Like, they're looking for people of all shapes and sizes, but you kind of have to know like what the look is, like what you go for. Like, there's some people that do really well in like westerns because they have just a gritty look. Like, you know, you make a good villain, so they
play
villains. There's a lot of money in like leaning into, obviously a lot of actors are creative and have something they want to be, and you know, if you want to be a leading person, things are different. But like, yeah, there's a...
Totally. I think I always really wanted the, like, Regina George role. Like, I really always just wanted the, like, bitchy role.
I feel like the most ideal role to be would be, like, a recurring character on, like... Because it's, like, a TV show that has, like, consistent work, so you always have a job. But, like, Hitchcock and Scully on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Like, a supporting character with a consistent work. Or, like, the like catty receptionist that's in every episode but doesn't really do a whole lot.
Yeah,
like, that's what I would want to be, like, just recognizable enough.
You're like no real character development. It's just like the one personality, and it stays consistent through the whole like,
recognizable
season.
Yeah, enough to keep getting work, but like, you don't get any of this stuff. Like, that's what I would, I think, would be cool. But
shit, I want to act so bad. Screen acting though, theater is like insane. I went and saw
theater is a different
thing. Oh, I went and saw a live theater performance recently, a few days ago, for the first time in like years. I just kind of, I'm not gonna lie, I was sitting there and I was like, I could.
You gotta do it right the first time.
Yeah, you gotta do it right the first time. But I was also like, I could act.
Yeah.
I could act, probably. Yeah. Memorizing lines is hard. We just did ads, and like, I can't do.
I used to be, as a kid, I could do it like crazy.
Dude, I know.
Like,
I know, that's crazy. We could memorize like long lines, but.
But yeah, anyway, like.
Anyway,
yeah, well, I was going to submit to a talent agency, put together a reel, and I'll do the same for you.
Me too. I want to do it too. Okay.
We're going to submit to a talent agency. Cool. There's one that's like very friendly to like newer actors.
Okay.
It's really popular in Austin that I've heard great things about. So I will send you that information.
Oh, I would love to.
I'll splice together your reel. I'll ask UGC Factory if they can send over our stuff. But
I always wanted to be an actor when I was little. Like, so, yeah. I wanted to be an actor so bad. And mom was like, we're not doing the child actor thing, which is like fucking smart, honestly. Yeah. Now, respect. But at the time I was like, oh my God, like, I'm not going to get addicted to heroin. Stop. Like, I'm just going to do the acting. Yeah. And she was like, yeah, we're not. You can do like local theater, but I'm not going to like take you down there and put you in freaking show business.
Yeah.
Which is respectable.
I mean, some of my favorite actors like started out having like real jobs first. And
really?
And they like went to, like, do you know who Retta is from Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was, fun fact, she was she's a chemist who graduated from Duke.
No.
Like doing stand up on the weekends.
Wow.
So she has like a full like chemistry degree.
Super
she's
smart.
Like a, yeah, insanely smart.
Holy
and
shit.
Like she was doing it for fun. Then someone like called her up, like just that recognized her and was like, hey, we have this role. Like, do you want to do this? And then she left her job.
Wow. And she's good in that role.
But like
too.
The thing is,
she's
like
good.
With like actors like that that come from like a real job first, like they're so like professional. Like, I feel like they're much more like professional versus they've grown up in a bubble. I don't
yes.
know. They like know.
Yeah,
relatable.
Yeah.
Like,
when the cameras are off, like they're probably, yeah, much easier to deal with.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But yeah, if you are a casting director of any kind, we would like to be in your movies.
Hey!
We're
hire
okay.
me.
I would like, I feel like it'd be fun to be in a horror movie. I don't know.
Dude, I would love.
Terrifier 4. They told us no to Terrifier 3. Maybe Terrifier 4.
Terrifier 4. I would love to be the final girl.
I would love to be in the next Saw movie. Kill us with a cool Saw trap.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Please kill me in a movie. I'd love that.
Yeah. Ah, I can. There's plenty of videos of me screaming on TikTok, so you know how that sounds. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, hire us if you're casting director. Not for any weird stuff. No, like weird, but not like, no adult movies. We want to be in real things.
Normal
commercial
shit.
Work. We have a lot of experience with commercial work.
Yes.
TV, film.
Yes.
Yes. We're humble. We show up on time. We're good at shutting up if we have to, and we'll talk if we need to, too.
Yeah.
So hire us. Yeah. anyway, to go into our episode of the day, I guess to kick off with like the main overarching, this is a female friendship centric episode. Okay. So friendship, married women versus single women, basically, is mm-hmm. kind of the idea here.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, do you think, okay, relationships or friendships between single women and married women look different, like single woman, married woman friendship versus two single women friendship, and why?
Yes, definitely. I think absolutely. Well, it's like because you're going from single to married, but there is a lot of my friends just kind of have like a relationship, a boyfriend or whatever. So when you say single, do you mean unmarried versus married? Or completely
single. Yes, you
could
even look at, I think you could say like, or like long-term partnered relationship.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think there is always a dynamic. I think there's always like a sense of, cause I mean, now I've been in a relationship for probably like 8 months and most of me is like, oh, thank God I don't have to deal. Thank God I don't have to be in that fucking mess. Cause I see my friends going through it. Like, you know, meeting people, it doesn't work out, whatever. And now I find myself on the other side of the aisle, whereas like 8 months ago, 9-10 months ago, I remember like you date somebody for a little bit and then it would fall through, they would ghost, they'd stop talking to you, and it just happened like over and over again to the point where I was like, wow, okay, this sucks. I'm stupid apparently, and I keep putting myself in this situation and getting the same result. Must be me. I must be the one. I'm destined to just kind of be this like side bitch that people don't care about. Which of course is not true at all.
No.
Like, not true at all. It really just comes down to like timing and compatibility, and like shared interests. So, like, I have a bunch of friends who are going through this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a bunch of them. Either their relationships are breaking up, or they're, like, trying, and things are falling through. And I know that feeling of, like, worthlessness, where you're like, again?
Mm-hmm.
Again I couldn't make it work? Like, it must be me. And it like, forces you to look inward at yourself. And so I worry that it sounds condescending when mm-hmm. I'm like, it's not you. But like Because I remember people telling me that at that time.
Oh, yeah.
And then being like, it's not you. It'll find you when you least expect it. And being like, girl, fuck you. Fuck you. Are you serious? Like, it'll find you when you need to expect it. Like, you shouldn't, once you stop looking, it'll be there. Shut up. Shut up. Literally, oh, my God, I'm going to fucking kill someone. Like, that made me so mad.
Oh, my God.
To hear at the time. Like, oh, my God. But in retrospect, it is true.
Yes. Did you feel like when you would share those types of stories, like single friends would talk to you differently than maybe like married or like long-term coupled people?
Yes. Yeah. I think, I mean, I guess it also depends on like where you kind of stand single versus in a relationship. Because I think I know a lot
assholes
of people.
Assholes are assholes.
Yeah. But like my single friends who are dating, like, they're trying, they want something more than this, and when you want it and it's not working for you, like, it fucking hurts. But if you're single and you're just like enjoying that, mm-hmm. then I think the dynamic is totally different. Mm-hmm. I also think that there is like very much a sense of not jealousy, but like, you know, married couple being curious and wanting to know and living vicariously through their single friends by being like,
oh my God, like,
what's
using
up?
Using it as entertainment.
Yeah. They're like, who you fucking?
Oh my
like,
gosh.
What's going on? Yeah.
I could like talk on end about that. Like,
yeah.
Also, like, when you like meet someone new, and maybe I don't know if it still applies now since you're like in a relationship, but like, you meet someone your same age, another woman your same age, she's single versus married. Do you feel like, either when you were single or even now, like, the married women would treat you differently than the single women in any way? You go to a party,
so
there's a married woman there with her husband.
Yes.
There's a single woman there with her husband. They're both the same age.
Yes.
Did you notice a difference in how they would speak
to
you?
Totally. Well, in the way that they behave towards you. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I know for a fact that there are, like, women who will not let their boyfriend or husband get tattooed by me.
Interesting.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Valid. Completely valid. Like, yeah. I completely understand that. Like, absolutely. Don't let him come. I don't want him. I don't want your man. But yeah, I think that definitely, like, a person in a couple, like a solid couple, and then a single friend, unless you really trust that friend, there's still just always some small little like threat.
Yeah.
Because she's available and she's looking, mm-hmm. and like she's spending time around your man.
Yeah.
This just came up on TikTok. I forget what the creators' names were. One of them's Amaya. Bunch of like hot girl influencers. And mm-hmm. she was, Amaya, she's the villain, was dating her best friend's brother. Maybe was even engaged to him, I don't know, dating him, cheated on the brother for her best friend's husband. Jeez. And now is living with the husband.
Oh my God.
Insane.
So,
and then somebody
so
else
messy.
It's so messy, but somebody else, another super hot girl, came on there and was like, yep, she did the same thing to me. Same thing to me. I was friends with her and she took my man, which is fucking crazy to me. Like, I think about this all the time. Like, the fact that you would sell out your female friendship for the attention of a man, of some fucking guy, you would throw your female friendship
at the
in
guy
the
and
fire.
It's just some dude named Greg,
and it's just Michael. Like, are you kidding me? And I really do. I think there's like something. I was just listening to Ariana Grande on my way here and thinking about it. I was like, God damn, dude. It's, you know, the song Break Up With Your Girlfriend Because I'm Bored.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What the fuck is that song?
I don't know.
That's crazy. That's so crazy to me. Like, the badge of honor that you think you have when you steal a man away from another woman. Because I think there's like this, like, you know, women who are the other woman, and they know they are. They know they're the side bitch. They know they're making this man cheat on his wife. And they think that it's like, I don't know, like, it like inflates their ego because, like, yeah, he's willing to cheat on his wife for me.
Yeah, like, I think that is, I will never understand that. Like, I don't know. Like, for me, it's just like someone's in a relationship. Like, when I would be single, if someone's in a relationship, like, they're a non-option of any, like,
non-option.
And even then, it's like, even if they're single, they can still be a non-option. They're allowed to be not interested.
Oh, my friends' boyfriends, I'm borderline enemies with them. Like, if we are in the same room together and my friend walks out, me and him are like, I don't like you very much until you prove
what's
otherwise.
Interesting too, and like I think you kind of like touched on it, is like I do think there's sort of like that, oh my god, single women are threats, but like don't like just like married people can be bad, like bad too in that regard, like that was like the whole concept of Ashley Madison, where it was married people cheating with other married people. And I know when I've seen like from, you know, people that have talked about, you know, coming clean about like cheating in the past, like preferring a married partner because they have skin in the game too. They have something to lose versus a single person.
Could get mad and could blow up your relationship.
Exactly. So when I think of people I know who have like cheated in, you know, extended social circles, a lot of times it was with another married person. They're like venting, they're kind of in the same like life stage. Like it was, you know, the two people staying like late after work or something like that. That is like, I do think that there's sort of that, you know, suspicion cast toward like single women, where it's like, look at your like married women, look at your married friends too.
Look at your married friends. Dude, we know someone who this very similar thing happened to personally.
Yeah,
and like, it is the like, oh, you've been spending time, dude, like there's so many stories of like the couple best friends,
couples that are best friends and they like hanging out so much. And there's like a how familiar are you with Sex in the City? Like, did you watch it through? It's like the third episode. It's so funny because it's like the third episode in the whole series, where it's basically, this is like the plot line of the episode. Carrie Bradshaw has like her overarching question as she writes her little like column that she somehow can afford this fancy apartment, and she asks like an overarching question. It'll be like the plot line of herself and then her friend group. Basically, the plot line of that episode, it is called The Bay of Married Pigs, Season 1, Episode 3. Basically, Carrie asks, is there a secret Cold War between the marrieds and the singles? And in that episode, she goes to visit her good friend and her husband at their house in the Hamptons, like stays there overnight. Next morning, Carrie goes to the kitchen, finds the husband in there, no pants on. And she's like, oh my God, like, kind of freaks out, runs out of the room, tells her friend, because she just feels like weird not doing so. And then lo and behold, the friend gets mad at her, kicks her out of the house, and says, like, you know, treats her like she's the problem. And then the other kind of like B plot of the episode is like Miranda's law firm hosts like a softball game. They like introduce her to, you know, a lesbian woman named Sid. I'm like reading the notes from the episode. And then like they have like an after party, and everyone's like keeps assuming she and Sid are a couple. And Miranda's like, no, like we're not a couple.
Yeah.
Just to find out that the senior partner at her firm was trying to like set them up together or something like that. And she's like, no, I'm not gay, I'm just single. But yeah, and then of course, like, there's the girls all get together, they go to some like some housewarming party that Carrie's guy she's dating, his friend, is hosting. There's a bunch of married couples there that like treat the group like really coldly. Like, they're going, as they try to be nice to people and introduce themselves, the married women are like, that's my husband. And then of course it ends with the couple that Carrie went to visit, like, she saw the husband, you know, they show up at the party, and then Samantha has like a drunken rant and makes fun of the guy for having like a small penis or something like that. And then they all walk away being like, fuck you, married women. It's a fun, kind of relatable but very unhinged episode. The theme is just like, you know, married women seeing single women as a threat, pitying them. I do think like there's kind of one sort of plot line that maybe wasn't discussed that I feel like I see a lot, which is like married women using single women for entertainment. You know, oh, can I see Tinder? Like, can I play with this? Or like, ooh, what kind of dates are you going on? Ooh, that guy's cute, go talk to him. Like, that kind of thing. But
yeah,
that was sort of the
I think some of that is living vicariously. Like, if a married woman is like, ooh, that guy is cute, she wishes she could talk to him, but she can't. So she's going to make you do it so she can fucking kind of live that way. Like, live through you.
And, like, every time they do that, they, like, make it seem like, oh, like, I'm, you know, the random fix-ups or something like that. Like, it's like they make it seem like they're doing you such a favor, and then it's for you to play entertainment. Ooh, I want to play Dollhouse. Tinder. Can I play Tinder? Ooh, like, how do I, like, the most annoying thing, too, is, like, like all married women like that that are in my like age demo, at least, like they've been on dating apps before. It's been a few years, but they've been on them before. And then like I remember I would have whatever app and then they'd be like, oh, can I just see it? And then they would open it and they'd be like, I don't know how to use this. I've been married for,
oh my god, so like, true.
You
I don't
Instagram.
Even know how to use this thing anymore.
It looks the same as when you were on it. You know how do I send a like? You know how to send a fucking like. Shut the fuck up. Like I remember that was like the most frustrating.
Yeah,
that like I vividly remember that from being single, and like now it's like especially like doing all this stuff. Like I feel like I'd like to think I'm a good coupled friend to single women, but like
yeah.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I try to be as well. Like I'm not. I haven't like retired my fun.
Oh, for sure. Do you want to read? Okay, so we have our listener. We're just taking one question today.
Okay. But mailbag: can single women and married women be friends? A good friend of mine from college is visiting my city with her husband for her birthday. Two of her married best friends and their husbands also live here, and they will be joining in on the weekend of festivities. I, on the other hand, am very single. No significant other, nor do I have anyone I've been going on dates with or hanging out with casually. I am currently not looking. Out of the blue, the birthday friend reached out to me privately and asked me not to invite any of my other single friends to accompany me to her birthday events. I was thinking of doing so, as I'd be a seventh wheel otherwise. Instead, she decided to ask one of her husband's single guy friends to come instead. I have never met this man a day in my life. Her reasoning is that a lot of wives don't feel comfortable with their men around single attractive women, and she doesn't want to risk drama in case one of them has a wandering eye. I really don't want to go anymore, especially since it feels like I'm being fixed up with a man I don't know. She even went as far as to tell me that he is single too. I'm just dumbfounded and honestly feel a bit insulted. Am I overreacting? My mom used to always tell me that single people and married people can't be friends, and now I'm starting to see why. What do you think? And what do I do? Do I skip the birthday, back away from the friendship? Can single and married women be friends?
So, like, I think my thoughts on this, because I think there's some of this that's like not so much like a question around single versus married, but just the level of friendship. Like, this woman says that this is a friend from college, basically, who's coming to her city. And then she describes the two other girls who she seems to not know. Like, it's not like she's saying, like, we're a group of four best friends. She's like, her two best friends also live here, and they're coming too. So she doesn't know them. And, like, because have you ever had, like, been to, like, a city and, like, lo and behold, you have an old friend that lives in that city and you're like, oh, we'll set it, like, let's set up a time to meet up. But, like, you know, you're there with another group of friends. It's kind of like, oh, I'll see you if you're there. They're kind of like the lower priority.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I sort of get the vibe that it's just like she's, you know, her needs aren't being prioritized because, like, she's not as close with this girl. Like, I feel like she's prioritizing her friendship with these two women. Like, she's going to see them. And, oh, by the way, like, you live here. Like, you should come too. And, like, the invites, like, it's kind of like when you have, like, a bachelorette party where it's they schedule everything. Like, they make sure all the bridesmaids can come and everything's around their schedule. And then, for like, sometimes it's like, oh, we'll have an extended group of people that maybe aren't in the bridal party. And it's more like the bachelorette party is like here on this date at this time. If you can make it, great. If not, no worries. Yeah. But like, you know, there's sort of like a, two different circles of friends here.
I think like getting to the end and her being like, oh, I don't want to go anymore. And just hearing you say that, I'm like, if she backed out of it gracefully, they would be grateful.
Yeah,
I think, like, the married friends, they would be grateful. And it's like, just let them do their little married little thing. Let them have their fucking thing so they don't have to feel anxious or worried.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are deeper rooted problems if, like, the insecurity is that bad.
Yeah.
I think, because I know plenty of couples, too, like, that have been together for many, many years. And, like, their security in each other is the hottest, coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, women who have been with their dude forever and are not intimidated and don't give a shit, like, about other single women.
Because
it's like, what's he gonna do? Leave me? Like, I hope you fucking do, bitch. Then what? You gonna leave me to chase after something that, like, doesn't want you? You're stupid. I love that confidence. But I think that's a really hard point to get to. Like, that takes years, probably, of, like, practice and security.
Yeah, like, these people definitely have their issues. I would say, like, find out, like, I would say that, like, there, a lot of these types of things, like, a whole weekend of festivities, like, that would be a lot, like, regardless, especially as kind of, like, someone who, it feels like she's got this, like, secondary level invite. I would say, like, kind of figure out like what the tent pole events are and like say like, okay, what day are you going to dinner, and go to one dinner. Like there's no weird stuff like where they can like pair you off or something for a dinner. Mm-hmm. Show up with a gift, go for the dinner, and then enjoy the rest of your weekend. That way you show face, all of that. I also think like just because this weekend isn't something that, you know, is a good fit for you to go on, it's not just like choose to end the friendship or like go enjoy this whole like weekend escapade and be forced to be set up with this dude that you don't even know and like be like kind of like this person's chess piece for their little game. Like, I think there's a medium, like you can decline this and still be friends with the person. You don't have to make it a thing. Like I would say just, you don't even have to say like, oh, and it feels like this and give a whole speech. Like you could just say like, you know, hey, like I overcommitted, whatever. Like, hey, I want to make sure I make it to like one dinner, like one, like ask kind of like what the schedule is. Pick one event off that, like 2 hours of your time. You show face, you see the friend.
Yes.
Pick something that's like friendly to single people. I feel like a dinner is good, not mm-hmm. like, you know, wine tour hopping, something that you can get away from easily.
Yes.
Because I think that's more the issue here, though. I do think like, yeah, this like threatened by the single women thing. Like, I think that also just shows like this is probably a crowd that's going to be like a pain in the ass to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yep. If they're already saying that to strangers,
like, that's, oh, stuffy.
Yeah.
Ugh, I can already sense like, yeah, that's because that just sounds like, I don't know, women pitted against each other.
Yeah.
Which is so patriarchy. That's so bullshit. Please. Exactly. Come on. Like, there's not enough space for all of us. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Decenter men.
Yes. No, like, it's a very, like, yeah, like, it's just, if they're already doing that and you haven't even met them yet, like, imagine, like, the pain in the ass they're going to be when you do meet them.
Like, okay, then invite a bunch of hot single dudes.
It's weird, and it feels very like secondary invite, like, you know, you're on our schedule if you come.
Yeah.
And I feel like you have other things to do with your time. Go to one dinner. Bring a card, give her a big hug, and then go back to your life.
Yeah, and you can even set yourself up too, like prior, be like, yeah, I'm coming, but I might have to leave early just depending on insert lie here. Yeah.
Pick an event that's easy. If it's like, we're going to go on a party bus and you can't get, or we're going to go on a boat, you can't really swim back to shore. Like, pick something that you can leave easily from.
Yeah.
That's not too like alcohol infused, like a dinner, like no one can be like, go talk to that guy, or like, here,
you can be like, secure. I have diarrhea, so yeah, I have to go.
Yeah. Pick a dinner. And then
sorry.
Yeah, I don't know, this group sounds like a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
I have a friend group of like mixed couples, singles and stuff like that. Some, you know, sometimes one half of the couple will come because another's like on a work trip. Like, we I don't think we've ever had anything like this. It's never like, uh-oh, that's, there's a single person. Like,
I also do feel like, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's correlation versus causation, who knows, but like the women that are so like, my husband is not allowed to do things because I fear his wandering eye. Like, if he's going to have a wandering eye, let him and leave. Like, don't try to like, don't be like, no, he's not allowed to. Because then he would literally just think of a sneakier way to do it. Like, to be like, he's not allowed. You're not allowed. It's like, do you want to be like the type of bitch that is hated like by men? Like, I feel like that's
of when those types of relationships are, it's like there's already something wrong. Like, this relationship is founded on something like weird in the first place.
Like, they're not talking. Yeah, I feel like that type of relationship, they're not best friends. They're not sitting down talking all the time.
No, it's like, it's a very weird dynamic. Like,
it's ownership, it's property, it's like control thing. I think that's crazy to me when people date someone and that's not their best friend.
Yeah.
You know, like, or you're married to someone and that's not your best friend.
Yeah. I don't know. I just like, I feel like a person like that's just like a pain in the ass. Cause like, if they're like that, and if a person's like that in relationships, like, relationships are like, there's capital R relationship, lowercase R relationship. If they're like that in their capital R relationship, a lot of times they're like that in their lowercase R relationships as well.
Yeah.
Just weird things.
Period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. But this has been a fun episode.
Yeah. Short one, but I love to.
I love our short
I would episodes. Love to tap more into like female relationships too.
Well, I've got lists of questions. I love female friendship dynamics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it, if you are a woman with a female friendship dating adjacent issue, send it our way. We love these.
Yeah.
Well, we'll catch you next time.
Okay. Ciao.
Ciao.
Love you. Bye.